a lot of people say that the world will be darker and there is no truth anymore and the hackers will win. I think that the next couple of years will be difficult because the attackers are early adopters. They are much faster in adopting these new technologies than the defenders. But in the long run, there is much more implications for the cybersecurity than is this for the attackers.
Bobby Gilbert, welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. I've been waiting so long for this episode and our conversation. Thank you so much for joining me from the Team8 offices.
Thank you for having me, and I'm really excited about this opportunity to talk with you and to take part in this amazing podcast.
It's going to be great because, Bobby, you know, this whole show is really about curiosity, passion. You know, where do we dedicate our time and energy? The journey that you're on and that you've had is you know, it's really something that I think I definitely want to dive into and share here because it's non-traditional, it's extremely innovative, and I think it speaks a lot to every conversation that we have, and we've had a couple now on the context of cybersecurity and AI. I can just see the interest and passion coming out of you, so I want to bring that to light here. So we'll get started, but Bobby, tell me a little bit about your name because you threw something at me right before we started that there's interesting stories behind both names. Tell me about it.
Yes. So the first name is Bobby. Actually, the name on the ID card is Baruch, which means blessed in the Hebrew. But as soon as I was brought back from the hospital, my older sister, she is about 1 year older than me. This is how she pronounced my name. And it sticks since then, since day 0 or day 10 of my life. So Bobby is the name. This is how she called me. This is how my parents called me. And this is how everyone called me. Actually, the family name is Marciano Gilbert because I'm married to Marciano. Avi is a doctor in communication and life science in Ben-Gurion University. And this is the other part, my name. This is a long name. And they pronounce it the way that they like it.
I love it. Bobby, tell me a little bit about your journey. It's not a traditional journey, but it's one that exemplifies excellence and curiosity. So what have been really the big milestones in your mind?
Okay, so I think that I'm currently in the second phase. The first phase of my professional career was in the Army Unit 8200. I've graduated 26 years of service. I've joined at the age of 18. And I was part of the IDF Unit 8200 up until the age of 44. I've retired as colonel. And I feel really lucky because I had the opportunity to do amazing things, everything that you see in the movies about cyber hacking, etc., multiplied by 1,000. And this was my day-to-day. I like to say that I was a hacker with a license and I had the opportunity to do amazing things for the first time. And I'm sure that in the next 20, 30, 40 years, history books will be written about what Israel did back then. And I feel really lucky to have the opportunity to take part in this.
You spent 26 years in this.
Yeah.
Now I got to spend 5 years, so I understand.
I do.
The experience that you have there. But today in your role at Team8, you're running at the fastest pace possible. You're looking, you're constantly shifting and exploring what's up ahead and your, and speed and execution at the forefront. So I think a lot of people, when they think of military service, it's not necessarily a perfect fit for this type of personality.
Yeah.
How did it fit for you?
Yeah. So the thing that I like the best and the thing that I think that I am best at has to do with innovation and looking for new opportunities. And this is exactly what the intelligence mission needs, because it's always about looking what is not obvious and what we can do that the other haven't thought about. So on the Army side, we are the enemy. On the innovation side, now on the private sector, we are trying to innovate at those things that others didn't think of. So the enemy was replaced by the contents. They're trying to think of things that others haven't, And it's all about innovating and building new things, building new frameworks, building new groups. And I think that I've learned a lot back then about the technology and about innovation and about research. I actually led the research for this amazing unit for a couple of years. And when I've joined Teammate, Nadav, which is one of the founders of Teammate, he called me. I forgot it. He's not my commander anymore. And he said, hey, come join us. And I said, of course, if Nadav asks, so I will do this. And the thing that I'm doing today has a lot of similarity to what I did back then, because it has to do with innovation, about thinking of new opportunities. And that there is no better time to innovate than in 2024, 2025. I said that I was feeling lucky back then at Unit 8200 to have the opportunity to do the things that we do. I feel even more lucky to be part of the ecosystem that designed the tech industry today with the introduction of this amazing alien technology into our life, the AI. Is about, I think this is the most, this is definitely the most important technological milestone that every one of us will encounter in our lifetime. It's bigger than the cloud. It's bigger than the internet. I think the best analogy can be the printed press or the spoken language. This is amazing technology, and I feel lucky again to be part of the community that tries to think what we can do with this new toy, which is exciting. Even more than the second, than the first part of my career,
Bobby. We're going to get a whole lot into what we're excited about up ahead, and the role of AI, particularly in cybersecurity. But I want to take you back for a second. Your experience is that leading thousands of innovators, researchers, engineers, soldiers, non-soldiers. You've done it extremely successfully. And one of the things that I'm always very curious about is what's the difference between, you know, very talented people who manage to achieve excellent results and really talented people who don't, right? In the startup scene, we see that all the time. And so what is your take now that you've seen dozens of projects, many succeeded, I'm sure that many didn't. What is your now sort of distortion when you see a talented group of people? What are really the fundamental things that you believe in that will help them achieve good results?
Okay, I'll say two things. One is leadership, and the second is avoiding fear. I'll start with the second one. The thing that we like to do in Unit 8200 was to take young recruits, and people are joining at the age of 18. This is the first professional challenge in their lifetime. This is the first workplace. And from time to time, we take problems that a lot of people with a lot of money try to solve before them. And they are just not aware of their past experience, past failures in solving this problem. And we ask them to solve this problem. And from time to time, we were really surprised that people actually managed to solve this problem that were not able to solve 10 or 20 years before. And the reason that they haven't failed in this mission is that they avoided fear. They were not feared of failure. And this is one thing. The second is the leadership.
I remember distinctly the second week of my course, I did Mamas, and my second week of my course, I come into the room. I don't know if I can share this, but I come into the room and we don't have a mouse. We just have keyboards.
Yeah. This is a known practice.
And we're sitting there and you're talking about fear. So there's many types of fears. Trust me, when you're sitting for 3 hours trying to log into Windows without a mouse and you don't know how to select and you're figuring out the combination, it's a fear. That you
it's
have
a
to
fear, over. Yeah. This is a known practice, and it's become even more vicious nowadays. we have some new tricks since your day, But this is all about not fearing and understanding that they actually can do everything. And as people grow, they collect more fears with them, and they avoid trying to solve problems that other have failed. So if you are young, you don't have this fear. I've seen it for my kids today. This is the reason that they are hard themselves so much. But when it comes to innovation and research, avoiding the fear is a good thing. The second is the leadership, of course. Taking this talent and being able to direct it to the right directions. And I will share with you one maybe not so known secret. There haven't been a lot of good things in the IDF from taking colonels or even captains in a room. They don't do anything. They just create problems. The innovation comes from the young people, from the bottom up. And leadership is all about allowing these young innovators and don't stop and don't say, oh, we don't need this, or go back to your work. Actually, when you are leading innovation, you can't command someone to be innovative. I command you to find the solution for this problem. No, and this is the usual army practice, but it has nothing to do with innovation and research. And it's all about connecting them to the mission. In the case of the IDF, it's really easy because the mission is the security of their family. In the case of the private sector, it's more difficult. But again, it's about creating money or successing in whatever KPI. But from time to time, people just don't make this connection of how will solving this problem create me achieving this higher goal or strategy. And this, the leadership is taking there and saying, okay, if you solve this, if we solve it as a whole, and then this will be the implication. It can be on the national level. It can be global implications. And these are due to components, talented people, talented group with the right leadership can do anything, anything. There is no any asterisk here. There is no any small letters here. Young people, talented people, sorry, with the right leadership can solve any problem. And the thing that we lack the most now in my second part of, in Unit 80-100, actually we were chasing ideas. And we were chasing ideas because we had the talent to implement them. I think one of the major surprises for me after joining the private sector and teammate is that it's not about ideas anymore. It's about talent. So in the private sector, in the real world, we are chasing talent. There are a lot of ideas that just wait to be picked from the floor. But it's all about the talent that can do the execution of this. And execution, it's not only the technology. These are the sales and the products and everything that we already know. So this is a major difference between what they did in the army and what they are doing right now. Back then, I was chasing good ideas. Now we're chasing mainly good people. We had a lot of ideas, but we're looking for the right teams to take these dreams and implement them.
Right. But I think that what you did with Teammate is that you've created an ecosystem which has the two levels, right? You have you've generated perhaps the most incredible and important group of industry experts that represent the state of cybersecurity from a solutions perspective, an implementer's perspective. And you have, on the other hand, you know, if you just look at the portfolio of Teammate, obviously you're backing the most talented entrepreneurs and then you create that platform for solution oriented results, right?
I completely agree with you, and then we'll add another component, and this is the village of security leaders. We cannot do what we do without this. We are not thinking about any idea on our own. This is the way that we communicate with the reality, is by communicating with this group. And the leadership that I was talking about in Unit 80-100 is the leadership in leading this herd of security leaders and understanding their real pains and trying to solve the right problems with the right solutions. So yes, this is the experts that we have here. It's connecting the ecosystem and the problem, and of course, being grounded to earth through this amazing community of security leaders that we are have here. And connecting with this company, this is the secret.
Absolutely. Let's do a shift for a second to this intersection of AI and cybersecurity. From your point of view, you know, we're in May 1st of 2024. We're starting to understand the implications of AI. You said it beautifully that this is perhaps the most important and catalytic technology from ever, you know, that's equatable to the, as much as the language itself. I fully agree with
right. you. Right, the language itself.
Fully agree with you. Not the industrial revolution, not the nuclear weaponry. This is a fundamental shift in how the human brain is going to experience reality. What's going to happen over the next 2-3 years, do you think, in the cybersecurity space? Where are the big building blocks, opportunities?
So I will start from the end. I'm optimistic. The reason that I'm saying this is that a lot of people say that the world will be darker and there is no truth anymore and the hackers will win. I think that the next couple of years will be difficult because the attackers are early adopters and they are much faster in adopting these new technologies than the defenders. And we are seeing it already. We are seeing it with the automated attacks. We are seeing it with the generated content, video and audio. We are seeing it with the automated tools and using GPT in order to understand what the patches are all about and creating the exploit faster than the people are installing the patches. But in the long run, there is much more implications for the cybersecurity world than is this for the attackers. Actually, I think that we used to say that the attacker and defender ecosystem is inherently asymmetric. For the attacker to win, they should only find one wall, and for the defender to do their work, they should look all around all the time. I think AI actually has the opportunity to break this inherent inequality and make the defenders for the first time the same level with the attackers, because they can guard everywhere, anytime, using this automated technology. So in the long run, I think cybersecurity will benefit much more than from these technologies than the attackers will, and the world will be more cyber secure. But the in the following 2, 3, even 4 years, this is going to be tough, because a lot of people that have a lot of organization, I think that if you were cyber negligent, if your organization was just too low level of security, it was probably already been wiped and attacked. But organizations that are not inside the cyber negligence level and are not high valued targets, just were not target of attacks. This will change, because now the spray and pray is done in magnitudes that we haven't seen anymore. Everyone will be exploited, and it will take not days, but minutes and seconds. So everyone should be ready for this. But in the long run, we will be able to fight fake much better than we can create fake. We will be able to detect phishing and stop attacks much faster than we can create attacks. And I'm optimistic, but again, this create a new challenge, this create an unsaid challenges. And on top of this, these are new challenges. For example, securing AI systems, this is something new. AI as a target for attackers, not as a tool for attackers. But not using AI for security, but securing AI. This is something new. This is a new component that was not there yet. This is the thing that I'm currently most passionate about. This is the thing that I'm currently leading, teammate. And this is the thing that I'm taking with me from my past career, because back then we asked ourselves whether we can do confidential work on the public cloud. And the answer back then was no, we cannot do. because we cannot secure our confidential AI. And this is a challenge that strikes me then and followed me since then. How can you do large-scale AI on public infrastructure while maintaining the security, confidentiality of the model, training data, etc.? So securing AI, not AI for security, is something new. And this is one of the things that is we are currently putting most more focus on and teammate. I actually believe that we teammate will do something around this in the next year or so. We see a lot of opportunities there. This is both for the consumers of AI, the users of the GPTs and the copilots, but even more for the creators of applications and models. They should make sure that their models and applications are protected from these kinds of attacks. We haven't seen these attacks on the wild yet, but I think this is a matter of days, weeks, or even years, but not years before we will see one major AI attack. I think we are now in the stage of, it's like OT security before Stuxnet. No one was talking about OT security before Stuxnet, and then we have this one event that changed everything. We will have the Stuxnet of the AI. I believe it will be happening the next year, if not earlier. And then everyone will be asking themselves, how can I protect my organization from this adversarial attack? So this is something new. This is the thing that we are currently invested in, looking around for the technology opportunities, what is there for the third parties and what is there for the vendors, because this is also a question. The vendors cannot leave this world unsecure. Okay, so if Microsoft are so invested in GPT and AI, they cannot leave it for third parties. So we ask ourselves, what is there left that is left for third parties and will not be covered by the large vendors? And this is a thing that I can talk for hours. Actually, we are after, I think, almost 200 validation calls around this, and we have good understanding of this arena by now.
Incredible. Bobby, first of all, from the optimism, you know, this the world will be more cybersecure. This is a fundamental idea that I very, very much resonate with, and I fully agree, and I think that it's a great, it's amazing light to have at the end of the tunnel. But understanding that the next few years will be interesting. We'll see events unfold, particularly interesting the distinction that of securing, not only using AI to secure, but securing AI.
Exactly.
I think that it requires a whole different deep conversation to dive into that, which I would love to have. But then also this idea that, you know, if until now really high value targets were the ones being attacked because of a difficulty to attack, this spray and pray, which becomes much more accessible and much more opportunistic.
Everyone is now a target. Yeah.
Everybody's now a target. And you know, that also has, I'm thinking back to what we do with deepfakes. I think that's a big understanding that it's not just the large enterprises necessarily that need layers of protection. And I think this insight is very likely highly relevant to many stakeholders. And so, Bobby, first of all, I wanna thank you for being here, and what a journey, and I think that this is certainly, you know, I've done over 1,000 of these conversations by now, but I have to very authentically share that this was one of my favorite ones, and your optimism and your curiosity and excitement just runs through the screen. So thank you for that, and best of luck with everything you do. I'm excited to keep in touch.
Thank you. It was fun. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.